Through the mouth of his holy prophet Jeremiah, God says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in Adam, but blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord." In the name of Jesus, amen. The prophet Jeremiah preaches to the southern kingdom of Judah. And Judah's sin at the time of Jeremiah was deeply engraved on the hearts of her people. So much so that even the children of their people had memories of the pagan fertility rites carried out at landmarks throughout their country. And at the center of Judah's defiance, at the center of its sin, sat its sinful distrust of the Lord. And so in their refusal to trust the Lord, naturally, they trusted in themselves. And so the prophet Jeremiah, in these short verses, 5 through 8, calls them out, defining for them and for us this morning what it truly means to be cursed and what it truly means to be blessed. The cursed man. The cursed man is that man who trusts in Adam, the man of flesh, the man of dust. And so the cursed man, his fleshly and deceitful heart, that organ in his chest, loves that which is false and wicked. And so he turns away from the Lord in all things. He is like, as Jeremiah says, he's like a shrub out in the desert that lacks all means of survival. No water to keep him alive. No water to keep his leaves green and bearing fruit of love toward his God and his neighbor. But in contrast, the blessed man, that man is he who trusts not in Adam, that is his own flesh, but rather in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord, as Jeremiah says. So not only is the blessed man's, not only is the Lord the object of the blessed man's faith, but also the substance of the blessed man's faith is the Lord. This is very important when we understand the nature of faith, and this is Dr. Martin Luther taught faith this way. Faith for Dr. Luther was that it was identical to Christ. To say faith was synonymous to saying Christ. So faith then is not simply a quality or a feeling that we have inside of ourselves that then we give or we devote to the Lord. No, faith is Christ. To say that you are saved by faith alone is to essentially say that you are saved by Christ alone. Faith comes from him. Faith is directed to him. Faith in its substance actually is him. And so the blessed man, as we think more about him, is also a man who is like a tree that's planted by water with its roots that are seeking out the stream or in the stream. Now, certainly not every place where the Bible drips water is it baptism. But in this case, it is no doubt referring to baptism, which is to say that the blessed man is the baptized man. And so this blessed man, he knows by the virtue of his baptism, by the water and the word, that he has been planted into Christ and he now is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Being then therefore rooted in Christ by holy baptism, he will not fear when heat and drought come, as it will in this life, as you all know. The cross tests everything in this life. And so though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though this blessed man's life is turned inside out and upside down and out of joint and broken and an entangled mess, this blessed man will even still believe in that dark day that the Lord has not abandoned him. He will know that he is not cursed, but rather blessed. Why? Because he knows that his Lord holds in his grip, the Lord's grip, all the things that afflict him and have put an end to them. He will therefore hold fast the Lord's promise and preservation to give him a glorious future, despite what his eyes currently see and what his heart now feels. And this blessed man, baptismally rooted in Christ Jesus, his leaves, we are told, will be evergreen. That is, he will bear abundant fruit. Despite the affliction and the suffering that he experiences, he will live by his baptism, knowing that he has been marked and redeemed by Christ the crucified. And he will not only just simply live, he will not just simply subsist one day into another ho-humly, but rather he will thrive. He will live in his risen Lord, which is to say, he will bear the fruits of love towards his God and his neighbor. That is, he will bear those good fruits that his God and Father has created in him and prepared him to do beforehand, and that he will indeed carry out. Which is to say that we must understand that cursedness and blessedness are not determined on the basis of outward circumstances. You simply cannot see if a person is blessed or cursed. Rather, the determining factor is always Christ Jesus, which is to say that if you have him, you are blessed. In spite of every evil circumstance that afflicts you, you are blessed. But also, if you do not have him, you are cursed. You are damned, in fact. That is to say that in spite of every good circumstance you may enjoy, you are still cursed. And so in this sense, all human reason and all logic gets turned upside down and inside out. And this is the biblical teaching throughout, namely the great reversal or the blessed reversal. Consider for a moment the words that Jesus speaks in the Sermon on the Plain in the Gospel reading. Notice who he calls blessed: the poor, those who hunger, those who weep, those who are reviled and hated and excluded and spurned as evil because they have confessed Christ on account of the Son of Man, as Jesus says. To our ears, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't make sense. For how can he who suffers want still have everything? How can he who is persecuted on account of the Son of Man still have peace within and know the comfort and the glory of Christ? Only because they have Jesus. In having Jesus, you have everything. And in not having Jesus, you literally have nothing. Notice the present tense as Jesus speaks the words of the Sermon on the Plain. Theirs is the kingdom of God. They have now the kingdom of God because they now have Jesus. The persecuted are blessed, and they can rejoice and weep for joy even now, for their reward is great in heaven. Then there is the future tense of what shall be, and it points to what Jesus will bring when he comes back to judge the living and dead and take us to glory. Those who hunger shall or will be satisfied. Those weeping will or shall laugh. Yes, they suffer now for a time, but because they have Christ Jesus, they have his kingdom, and so they have no lack. This is again how the psalmist can say that I shall not want. I can only say that in Jesus. And then the persecuted, they are blessed, And they can rejoice, and they can leap for joy even now, for their reward is great in heaven. Think here of the holy saints of all of Christendom. Think of the holy fathers of old. Think of all those who have lived and suffered and died in the faith. They suffered because of their delight in the Lord. They suffered because of the fact that they held fast to the instruction of their heavenly Father. But now they have received their glory and they are eternal in Christ, ever glad at heart in Him. In contrast to those are indeed the cursed. And Jesus says those are those who are rich now and those who are full now and those who enjoy the honor and the popularity of the world now. It is those who rejoice in the world's instruction and the world's ways and who, like their fathers, despise and persecute the holy ones, the sainted, the church. And Jesus says, yes, woe to them. Think here of the rich man and Lazarus, right? The rich man in his castle towering over the poor man, Lazarus, who sits outside his gate and is having these unholy animals, these dogs, lick the poor man, Lazarus' sores. That rich man standing in his gate, no doubt, thought that he was blessed. But in the day of judgment, he will find out that he was not blessed, really. No, he was actually cursed. Why? Because all his trust was in himself, was in his own flesh, with his own fickle and accursed heart, in the man of dust, Adam. And yes, like a shrub in the desert, he will grow up and he will simply shrivel and he will die and he will pass away, and then that will be it. The prophet Isaiah echoes what Jeremiah tells us and the scriptures. All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but what? The word of our Lord, the word of our God, endures forever. Now, compared to those of Jesus' earthly ministry, those who lived at his time, certainly every one of us sitting here is quite rich and quite full and comfortable. Does that mean that Jesus says woe to us this morning? Well, our affluence and our comfort and certainly do put us at risk or at danger. There is no way to sugarcoat Jesus' woe in the text. But again, blessedness and cursedness are not determined by outward circumstances. For we know that Christians and non-Christians, or Christians and unbelievers, if you will, experience both joy and sorrow in this life. Both Christians and non-Christians can be found on every level of the economic spectrum. We know that the Lord makes His sun to rise on the good and on the evil, and He sends His rain on the just and the unjust. The point that Jesus is making in His sermon is woe to that man who looks to his own flesh and the stuff that he has for salvation. Woe to that man who wants to be full now in the things of the flesh and having it all now in the flesh and in the merriment of the world's honor and popularity. For that is, after all, to put your trust in man and not in God. To put it in yourself, and that is indeed cursed. For it can only lead to death, and if that is you, then yes, woe to you. If that is me, then woe to me. But to those who recognize, however, that no matter how much that they have, no matter how the amount of physical or emotional enjoyment they get out of this life, or how respected they are in the communities of the world, before God, they know that they have nothing, that they are a beggar. It is they who are blessed because their Lord Jesus not only is whom they trust in, but he is their trust, and he is their riches, and he is their satisfaction, and their joy, and their glory, and their eternal life. Their trust is not only in him, but their trust is him. So naturally, then, you can have only two pennies to rub together, and you are still blessed. You could have only a widow's mite and be blessed. You could be racked with chronic pain and struggle with mental health issues and be blessed. You can be waist-deep in sorrow and grief and difficulty and be blessed. But consider those who are coming out to Jesus that day. They're coming for healing. For those who had diseases and they were poor and they were troubled, they knew their own suffering. They knew their own problems. They knew their own sin. Whether it was caused by their own hands or the hands of someone else or the world, that did not matter. They sought what they needed because they knew that Jesus was the only one that could give it to them. They sought restoration and forgiveness in Jesus. They came to hear him and to be healed and restored by him. And in that way, they were indeed blessed, for they had Jesus. You and I this morning, we are no different. We are exactly the same as those individuals coming to Jesus that day. For you and I come today with our own sins and our own failures. We come with our own sorrows and our own afflictions, our own burdens, and our own pains and troubles. You come to hear Jesus, not me. And I don't even come to hear me. I come to hear Jesus. For our delight is ultimately in the words of our Lord's instruction, in his law and his gospel. We come to him so we might know that he drives away our devils and forgives our sins and takes our burdens and brokenness that weigh heavy on our heart, and he sends it as far as the east is to the west. You come, therefore, to eat his body and drink his blood, to receive strength and light for your own body and soul, because you know the way is dark that you travel. And rooted in his gifts, in his baptism and his supper and his word, you are indeed as Jeremiah and the other scriptures say, you are like a tree planted by water, and you are evergreen, being rooted in him. So no matter what heat or affliction or scourge comes upon you, you will not be like that shrub that withers and passes away. No, because your whole life is in Jesus. Your whole life is in your Heavenly Father's gifts and in his kingdom, and not in the stuff of the world. You are indeed blessed and set for eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen.